In our first reading this morning from the Old Testament, we heard these words: "The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint." Have you ever noticed how frequently the Bible talks about widows and orphans? According to my research, widows are mentioned 71 times in the Bible and orphans another 25 times. And most of those passages are about the special love that the Lord has for widows and orphans and the duty that his people have to care for their needs. And the reason for that special attention was that widows and orphans were some of the people most in danger of being neglected or even forgotten. Without the regular sustenance provided by the husband and the father of the family, they were usually quite dependent on the charity of others for their very livelihood. And so God, time and again, through his prophets, reminded the people of this, lest the widows and orphans be forgotten. And we see this theme of God's special love for the humble and the poor in the gospel in the tax collector who, in his humility, is worthy to be heard by God in his prayer. The pattern continues down through the centuries in the church. The church, in her social teaching, speaks about a preferential option for the poor, a special concern for those whose dignity society is in danger of forgetting, and how often the church has spoken on behalf of such people. Did you know, for example, that our own Cardinal Ritter, when he was Archbishop of St. Louis, desegregated Catholic schools in our archdiocese in 1947, which was a whole 7 years before the Supreme Court required public schools to do the same. And he was very much criticized and faced quite a bit of backlash for that, but we see now how prophetic his action was, as he recognized certain people in our society whose dignity was being neglected, forgotten. This continues in the church in our own day. And in this month of October, which is Respect Life Month, we are reminded by the church especially of the call to give voice to the most vulnerable persons there are, those who literally do not yet have a voice of their own, children in their mother's wombs. As I mentioned in this week's bulletin, I think in many ways we've become quite numb to the horror of abortion. Those who promote it in our society have chosen very clever language that dehumanizes the unborn child. We use words like choice or reproductive rights or even refer to the child in the womb as fetal tissue. And the violence of abortion is very much hidden from the world because it takes place in the very womb of the mother. But is not the child in his mother's womb in many ways the poorest, the most vulnerable of all? For the child in the womb is absolutely dependent for everything, has nothing on its own. We've been speaking a lot in these days about St. Teresa of Calcutta after her canonization, as we've looked to the wonderful examples she gives us of mercy and love in action. St. Teresa, in 1994, was invited to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., and with quite a bit of courage, speaking even before politicians who had promoted abortion, she brought the hidden horror and violence of it into plain light. Mother Teresa spoke these words: "I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Any country," she says, "that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion." I know it's possible that here this morning there could be some women who have made this choice in your lives. And so I'd like to say a word to you and to any men who may have been part of such a decision, that when the church speaks clearly and boldly on this issue, as she must, when the church condemns abortion, she does not desire to condemn you. Quite the contrary. The church is a loving mother, and she feels a deep compassion for you. And she wants to extend to you the mercy of God. She recognizes that your decision was an agonizing one, that perhaps there were outside pressures upon you, that you were influenced by the great confusion so present in our world today. Abortion, in the end, not only stops the beating heart of a child, but it wounds two other hearts, the hearts of a mother and a father. So be not afraid to seek the mercy of God, especially in the sacrament of penance, and look into ministries such as Project Rachel and Project Joseph, offered by the church as instruments of healing for hearts wounded by abortion. And for all of us, as we hear God speak of his preferential love for the poor, for the vulnerable, for those in danger of being forgotten, as we observe with the whole church this Respect Life Month, it's a good time for us to each examine our own conscience. Am I doing everything I can to be an instrument in the culture of life? Do I feel compassion towards those women who have chosen abortion? Do I offer myself to the Lord as an instrument of mercy? This particular year, of course, we're in the midst of an election cycle. And we each, I think, called to recognize that while we have certainly many issues to consider as we prepare to vote, as our own Archbishop has said, this is the one issue that weighs most heavily on the Catholic conscience. As we think about the sheer number of lives lost, nearly 60 million now, to abortion in our land. And so today, let us resolve anew to be men and women who work and pray for a culture of life. At the very least, every day, we should offer prayer for this intention. It's simple and easy for us to do. To offer humble prayer like that of the tax collector, the kind of prayer that pierces the clouds, begging God for the resurrection of a culture of life in our land. And let us too offer ourselves as prophets, giving voice to the voiceless, resolving to speak clearly and boldly and with compassion the truth that life in the womb is sacred and precious. Let's speak that truth on the sidewalks outside of Planned Parenthood, on social media, in conversations with family and friends and even strangers. Let us be instruments also of mercy and compassion for women who find themselves in crisis pregnancies. Women who feel that they do not have options, we can offer them hope and the opportunity to choose life. Each of us, when we see God's preferential love for the poor, should find ourselves convicted to be a voice for those who do not have one of their own. Congressman Henry Hyde is an example of one who used his position of power to give voice to the voiceless. During his time as a U.S. congressman, he worked tirelessly for this cause. And as God calls us to do the same in our lives, I offer you these words of his. I pray that they will inspire each of us to resolve anew to follow his example in giving voice to those who do not have a voice of their own. Congressman Hyde once said in the very halls of Congress, "When the time comes, as it surely will, when we face that awesome moment, the final judgment, I've often thought, as Fulton Sheen wrote, that it is a terrible moment of loneliness. You have no advocates, you are there alone, standing before God, a and a terror will rip your soul like nothing you can imagine. But I really think that those in the pro-life movement will not be alone. I think there will be a chorus of voices that have never been heard in this world, but are heard beautifully and clearly in the next world. And they will plead for everyone who has been in this movement. They will say to God, "Spare him, because he loved us." St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.